With that, we will call to order the meeting of the Business, Finance, and Facilities meeting for June 8th, 2023. Roll call, please.
Chair Carvalho.
Here.
Vice Chair Boylan.
Aye.
Regent Brown.
Present.
Regent Downs.
Here.
Regent Tarkanian.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you, Angela. Next item is public comment. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas?
There is no public comment in Las Vegas.
Thank you. Public comment in Elko?
No public comment in Elko.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here in Reno? Please state and spell your name for the record.
It's Kendall Lambert, K-E-N-D-E-L-L, L-A-M-B-E-R-T.
Please go ahead.
So I would like to speak in support of the new business building. So I'm a recent graduate of the College of Business. I majored in economics and finance, and I was also the previous president of the Business Student Council. And I could talk for hours on why I believe that the university deserves and needs this building. But just because I only have not a lot of time, I'd like to speak on the fact of my personal experience. And even though I won't see a direct impact of this, I really do believe that the students here do deserve this. And one of my main reasons is within Business Student Council, we use the conference rooms in Ansari, and the new building will have bigger conference rooms. And so now we have to actually limit membership just because we don't have the capacity to have all these members. And the main reason is because I graduated with finance. In most of my classes, they said that in the real world, or the real world as they say, the new trading lab and the new business building will have resources that we'll actually be using if, say, we do want to join portfolio management or be in the investment world. And in our courses right now, we have to use Yahoo Finance. And so just having that resource, I would feel way more prepared entering portfolio management, which is a career that I am pursuing. And I feel very behind compared to other students, such as at Boise, Stanford, any other college that actually has that resource. And so not only will it build a sense of community as freshmen, I didn't even have a course in the business building. And so I didn't have a physical building that I felt tied to until I was a junior. And so just building retention and having a sense of community and also having those resources that will make your degree more valuable is really essential to me. And I don't want to take too much of your time, but thank you for listening.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment in Reno? Seeing none, I will just make note that there is written public comment in support of the College of Business building at UNR from the Dean's Advisory Committee chairperson. And everybody will have that letter in your board pack. I'll move on to item number 2, minutes. Are there any comments, questions on the minutes? If not, I will
make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Regent Boylan.
Sorry, ma'am.
No, you're fine. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a motion from Regent Boylan. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Regent McMichael. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 3, third quarter fiscal year 2022-2023 fiscal exceptions for the self-supporting budgets. CFO Klinger.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer, and I'm just going to highlight the accounts with deficits for the third quarter. The details are in the packet. I'm not going to go through all the details, but just going to highlight those accounts that are in deficit. So the first is the University of Nevada, Reno, ASUN Wolf Shop, which reported a deficit of $697,153. The College of Southern Nevada, the dental faculty practice, reports a deficit of $823,820. The Nevada State College Early Childhood Education Center is reporting a deficit of $46,134. DRI is reporting a negative cash balance of $28,183. Great Basin, a negative cash balance of $15,565. And then under the category of normal operating cash flow deficits, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas School of Medicine continued to report a negative cash balance at the end of the third quarter, totaling approximately $2.2 million.
Thank you, Mr. Klinger. Are there any questions or comments regarding this report? This is information only. Before I move on to item number four, I just wanted to clarify that the second on item number two was provided by Regent Downs, not Regent McMichael. I apologize for that. We'll move on to item number four, third quarter fiscal year 2022-2023 budget transfers, state-supported or self-supporting operating budgets. Mr. Klinger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer, and we actually do have two transactions to report this quarter. The University of Nevada, Las Vegas School of Medicine reported a transfer totaling $900,000, and the University of Nevada, Reno reported a transfer totaling $560,000. And again, the details are in the memo and in the report that's attached.
Thank you, Mr. Klinger. Are there any questions or comments from committee members regarding this report? It is also for information only. Hearing no questions or comments, I will move on to item number five. ENCHI Las Vegas System Administration Parking Lot Improvements. Mr. Klinger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer. Excited to present this information item for the System Administration Las Vegas office. I think as most regents are aware, UNLV acquired the building to the south of the System Administration office in Las Vegas. And as part of that was looking for some additional parking. And in the System Administration building in Southern Nevada to the east of our parking lot, we actually own that parcel behind there. So we have entered into an agreement where they will make improvements to that back parking lot. And so as part of that, there's additional security measures that we're going to make for the entire parking lot, some additional fencing, lighting, and some accessibility measures that we're going to implement as part of that project. So it's a really good partnership, I think, for both UNLV as well as the system office. It gives UNLV some additional parking, plus it allows us to sort of leverage that into additional improvements to the existing parking lot area. In addition to that, part of that agreement allows the System Administration Office, if there, for example, is a special board meeting, I think as you all know, parking in that area can be difficult. It gives us access to the east part of that parking lot that UNLV will improve when we need sort of overflow parking. So I think it's a really good arrangement for both the System Office as well as UNLV.
Thank you, Mr. Klinger. Are there any questions or comments regarding this report?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Regent Boylan.
Thank you, ma'am. Maybe I missed it somewhere, but what's the cost of this extended security measures of fencing and automatic gates? I bet will be in there. What's the cost of that?
Chair Carvalho, CFO Klinger, for the record, to Regent Boylett. I don't have that as part of that report, but we can certainly bring that back to the regents.
Thank you. I would appreciate that, Jess. It's good to know where taxpayers are spending, or we are spending taxpayers' money. So thank you. I appreciate that as soon as possible, not just to the board, because that could be what next, I mean, few months, August or something like that. So if you could send it to everybody, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Boylan. Just as a note, there is a note on the agenda regarding the fiscal impact. I don't know if you saw that, but it does state that ENCHI's anticipated reimbursement cost for the improvements is $350,000, which includes design fees, plan check fees, and ENCHI's proportional fees for management and inspection. With that, I'll move to item number 6, rebudget appropriated instructional funds in the UNR Med state budget for UNR. And for this, I will turn it over to President Sandoval.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Good morning, everyone. Vice Chair Boylan, Regents, Chancellor Urquiaga. For the record, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. We are here to request approval to rebudget and direct appropriated instructional funds to fund an annual increase in the interlocal contract between the UNR School of Medicine and the State of Nevada. The Practitioner Upper Payment Limit, the UPL, Supplemental Payment Program is a federal Medicaid program that allows for payment of supplements to clinical practitioners associated with a teaching institution. As you've read in the briefing papers, by increasing our annual contribution, UNR Med will receive, at a minimum, academic support which will allow it to participate in the Uplift program. However, the net effect of the federalized uplift will be to provide more than the current level of support received by UNR Med. The increased federal funding will lift the levels of academic support from Renown Health for numerous activities, including but not limited to program growth, clinical teaching, clerkships, department chairs, and the needs of the chief academic office. It's very important to emphasize that the opportunity we present today to expand and improve healthcare would not happen without the affiliation agreement between Renown and the UNR School of Medicine. And again, I want to thank the regents for their approval of that. I think it was about 2 years ago, but this is part of the fruits of that affiliation agreement. Unfortunately, Dean Paul Hauptmann is unable to be with us today, but I will turn it over to Dr. Melissa Piasecki, who is well known to all of you, to provide you with further details. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, President Sandoval. Good morning, Chair Carvalho, Vice Chair Boylan, Regents, and Chancellor Urquiaga. For the record, Melissa Piasecki, Executive Associate Dean, University of Nevada, Reno School of Medicine, and I'm pleased to provide further details regarding the request by UNR on behalf of the School of Medicine for approval to rebudget fiscal year 23 instructional funds in order to increase matching funds for our growing Medicaid UPL program. Like many state medical schools, UNR Med has participated in the Medicaid UPL program for many years through our residencies and our former faculty practice plan. The opportunity to expand our participation in the Medicaid UPL program is the direct result of our strong partnership with Renown and the affiliation agreement approved by the board in 2021. Within this affiliation, our UNR Med faculty, practice, clinical services through Renown Health, and Renown employed physicians receive UNR Med joint faculty appointments as they teach and supervise UNR Med students and residents. Our new Renown joint faculty become eligible providers for the Medicaid Uplift Program. As we dramatically expand our teaching faculty in partnership with Renown with 480 joint faculty appointments, we now have the opportunity to similarly expand the UPL program. This leads to an increased match. Specifically, our match for the interlocal contract increased from the previous 4-year cap of $6.6 million to a four-year cap of $22.5 million. As a result, we request rebudgeting $13.5 million to provide the current match for the expanded program in order to draw down new federal dollars. As President Sandoval noted, the expansion of the Medicaid UPL program will lead to increased payment for clinical services provided through Renown Health and result in increased academic support at a minimum equal to the match and expected to be beyond the match. Under the current four-year match cap of $6.6 million, the academic support from Renown to UNR Med this year is $25.4 million. It's important to note that the expansion of the cap translates not only to increased federal funding for medical education in Nevada, but it also increases access to care for underserved patients in Nevada's communities. Although we were very pleased with the expansion of the UPL program, during our normal budgeting process, we did not expect the magnitude of this opportunity to increase the program, including federal approval for retroactive funding to 2021 when the affiliation went into effect. We therefore request your approval for the rebudgeting. Thank you, and I'm happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Bajasecki. Are there any questions or comments from committee members? Regent Brown.
Thank you so much, Regent Brown, for the record. I just want to say thank you, and I'll echo what I told President Sandoval. I think this is amazing. You know, Nevada is historically one of the lowest states for federal grant dollars and federal funding and things. So it's awesome that you guys found a program, a way to increase healthcare access, a way to do just making a teaching hospital, doing all these things. I mean, this is a win for everyone. It's a win for the community. It's a win for the school. It's a win for the hospital. It's a win for Nevada. So I just wanted to put that on the record. This is really, you know, a clever way of handling this, and you guys did amazing.
Thank you very much, Regent Brown. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Regent Brown. I will go to Chancellor Urquiaga.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Dale Urquiaga, Acting Chancellor. I want to echo what Regent Brown just said, and if the board has looked at your briefing document, this is one where there is not a recommendation from the Chancellor's office. That's merely due to the timing. When materials were due, we were still reviewing it. It is unusual, so it took us some time, and Andrew and I were busy with the legislature, sorry. So we didn't get to check the box, but both of us have had experience with Medicaid matches in our previous lives, and I would echo what the Regent has said, my commendation to the school and to the President. This is very clever financing and good for folks here at home. So thank you.
Thank you, Chancellor. Any other questions or comments from those on the committee or others? I don't see any other comments.
Thank you.
I would entertain a motion to rebudget and direct appropriate instructional funds in budget account 2982 for UNR School of Medicine to fund an annual increase in the interlocal contract between UNR and the state of Nevada. Also seeking approval for the request to authorize the university to request the State of Nevada Board of Examiners and Interim Finance Committee of the Legislature approval as necessary to reflect the updated budget allocation.
I'd like to move to approve.
I'll take the motion from Regent Brown and a second from Regent Darkanian. Thank you both. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 7, College of Business Building Third Party Development Project Phase 1, Development Agreement, Ground Lease, Building Sublease, Associated Direct Agreements, Letter of Representations, and Related Disclosures Resolution from UNR. President Sandoval.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho, Vice Chair Boylan, members of the committee, Board of Regents, Chancellor Urquiaga. For the record, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. We are very excited, and it's an absolute pleasure to bring to you and request your final approval of the documents related to the College of Business Third Party Development Agreement. With your approval, we'll immediately begin site work on the building. You see cycling through the PowerPoint. I guess I'd cue the PowerPoint, if you would. On the screen, that is a 128,000 square foot building dedicated to our largest and fastest growing college, our College of Business. The new business building is a critical piece in successfully sharing our story with the community and the state that we serve. How we are a university without borders, how we are a place of innovation and partnership. How we can help build a more diversified and enticing economy in Northern Nevada by supporting and growing our innovation capacity. And this building will create a whole host of new opportunities. It's been a very long road and a very short amount of time as we reach this moment. And as I was preparing my remarks for today, I was reflecting on the first time we brought this approach to the board in December of 2021 through the board's approval of design funds in September 2022 to today. It's only been 18 months. So I don't want the relatively expedited timeline to mislead anyone. No, this project has been a primary focus of a large cross-functional team on campus, as well as assistance from subject matter experts such as your real estate counsel, Mike Wixom. And Mr. Wixom, we'd like to thank you for your assistance in this matter and the development team at our partners, Edgemore and Architects LMN. I'd also be remiss if I didn't thank the Reno City Council and staff for their input and dedication to this project, from envisioning the project from concept to design through the technical details of easements and permits. So a very quick history for the record, as I know you are all familiar with the project. If you approve this document package before you today, this will be the first academic building in the Matthewson University Gateway District. This academic building is now possible with the grand opening of the Gateway Garage this past January, providing parking and the accessible corridor to this part of campus. This area transitions the divide between the historic university campus and the urban edge of downtown Reno. And while the delivery approach before you for approval today is new for the university, the need for the development is not new. It's been part of the university master plan since 2014 and involved the acquisition of 31 parcels, 18 of which will make up the footprint of the new business building. This is a very different approach from the traditional one to academic buildings. And while new for us, we are proposing a tried and true model that has been vetted at higher education peers across the country. And you'll hear a little bit more about that later on in the presentation. This development is the most exciting project for the University in Northern Nevada in many, many years, and will be the most visible location in the region. With the chair's permission, I'll ask Jeff Stricker, the senior managing partner or managing director at Edgemore, to brief the board on the transaction and financing approach, as well as how we're able to maintain community engagement goals on a project of this magnitude. But first, I'd like to ask our Dean of Business, Greg Mosier. Where are you, Dean Mosier? If you would come forward to briefly discuss the academic purpose for this building, which has been the North Star for this initiative. And as you can see from the briefing materials and our prior discussions, this project is absolutely critical to our university's strategic plan and enrollment goals, as well as advancing the five NCHE strategic goals. So with that, Madam Chair, with your permission, I'd like to present Dean Mosier.
Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be here. My name is Greg Mosier, G-R-E-G, last name Mosier, M-O-S-I-E-R, and I'm the Dean of the College of Business at the University of Nevada, Reno. Very excited to present to you today, representing the 130 faculty, administrators, and staff in our College of Business, as well as the 3,500 students who are enrolled in our academic programs. We think that this new building is our opportunity to contribute to the economic development and skilled workforce for both the state and the region as we move forward, and look forward to explaining a little bit about that to you. The need for this project, as Ms. Lambert pointed out in the public comment section, really can be divided between competitive economic attributes as well as changing pedagogy and social dimensions of business education that have taken place in the last 20 years. to talk a little bit about the competitive and economic aspects of this facility. The competition in this space is quite fierce. If you look at schools that surround us that we would regard as competitors and peers in business education space, ones that have built new business buildings in the last 10 years include the Huntsman School at Utah State University, the College of Business and Economics at Boise State, and the College of Business at Oregon State University that have all built new business buildings trying to enhance business education at those campuses during that time frame. In addition to that, on the competitive side, we have tremendous space needs in our current College of Business, the way we have our infrastructure allocated. To give you a real quick example of that, this last fall we had our highest enrollment headcount ever in the College of Business with 3,526 students enrolled in a variety of our business programs. We expect to see that number go up as we adhere to the strategic plan of the university, and we think this business building is really going to help us do that. Another accolade I think that we might be able to say is actually this May, just this last month, at university graduation, the College of Business awarded the highest number of degrees in any academic unit within the university, a total of 519 academic degrees. Again, it represents the enrollment demand that we're experiencing. The final thing about the competitiveness and the economics of this project, if you look at our current space allocation for the College of Business, about how we operate for those 3,500 students in particular, we have 30,000 square feet that are dedicated to the College of Business in the Ansari Business Building, which, by the way, is exactly the same amount of square feet that are dedicated in that same building to the College of Liberal Arts. So we struggle somewhat with space needs, particularly as we need to add faculty and staff in order to serve our students. But probably more important than all of those attributes of it is the changing pedagogy and the things that are changing about how we teach in business education. And what we've done in space design around business education is move much more to a social environment and collaboration environment for how we get students to develop business skills. And again, back to Ms. Lambert's comments about what she would like to see as being a recent graduate. I'll give you a real quick example. Our architects actually did a survey, having designed the most recent building that's been put in place at the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington. And what they found is, as among the students, as they talked about the types of interactions that students are looking for in a business building, they lead with 60% of the needs are focused on student-to-student interaction. Of course, we don't typically expect that to happen in most classroom space. You need other kinds of design space in order for that to happen. 40% of that interaction is expected to be between students and faculty. But beyond the academic interaction, one of the things that business students want the most is the interaction with the fullest range of people available to pursue their career-related goals. In other words, bringing people from the community in place and from businesses and have them have an opportunity to come in and engage with those students so that they can look forward to their career. The location of this business building in the Gateway District really helps us enhance those kinds of opportunities. The final thing I'll say about pedagogy, and then I'll wrap up real quick, the things that you find that define business education today include classroom flexibility, which is a thing we don't have in our current facilities. We need to be able to accommodate team-based learning, a thing we don't have in our current facilities. In addition to traditional outcomes, we need breakout rooms, team meeting spaces. Those are much more important and in greater numbers than anything that we currently have. And then finally, less formal opportunities for team meetings, spontaneous collaboration, and casual interactions are very important. So the new design is going to be something that really moves us and puts us up there being competitive with our peers, and we look forward to the conversation. I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Dean Mosier. Are there any questions for the dean? Seeing none, I guess we will move on. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Looks like Mr. Jeff Stricker from Edgemore is coming up.
Yep, thank you. Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee. Jeff Stricker with Edgemore Infrastructure and Real Estate, GEOFFREYSTRICKER. I am a senior managing director with Edgemore Infrastructure and Real Estate, and excited to be here and talk to you about this exciting project that the renderings are now scrolling through for all of you to see. I'm going to talk about four things and try and be brief. Quick overview of my company and the partners we have working on the project. I'm going to talk about the transaction structure and how we're putting it together. I'm going to talk about our approach to financing. And then lastly, I'm going to talk about construction and the outreach efforts that we've undertaken. And then I'll be glad to answer any questions afterwards. So my company, Edgemore, was founded in 2001, and we develop public buildings and infrastructure. We work all across the country. We have a very specific focus on colleges and universities, and in our history have delivered about $4.5 billion worth of work all across the country. A couple of our higher ed clients include George Mason University, the University of California, San Francisco, the University of Kansas, and Augustana University in South Dakota. We have delivered, and I will talk about many projects under a similar leaseback structure that is being proposed for the College of Business, namely the University of Kansas Central District Development Project, as well as the UCSF Sandler Neurosciences Building. Our team also includes Clark Construction. Clark is a 116-year-old company. They're privately owned, and in fact, they are the largest privately owned construction company in the United States. They've done over $4.4 billion worth of work on college campuses, representing 23 million square feet of buildings. So they understand how to build on campuses, how to keep people safe, and how to deliver academic facilities. Our architect, as Dean Mosier just said, LMN Architects, specialty in the design of business education buildings, 11 different buildings across 9 different campuses. And the unique thing, as the dean pointed out, they do what they call post-occupancy surveys to ask what's working, what's not working, and then take that knowledge to the next project and the next project. So we really believe we have a state-of-the-art facility for the university. And then lastly, we will, post-completion of construction, be operating and maintaining the facility for the university, and we have partnered with Johnson Controls, or JCI. They are an international global firm with deep experience managing buildings on college campuses. And under what we call performance-based contracting, their portfolio is about $7 billion worth of projects across the globe. I'll turn to the transaction structure, which I understand is page 31 in your packet, since we're looking at the renderings, and I'll talk through that. It is, while there's lots of boxes and lines and arrows, a standard leaseback structure, one we have implemented on other deals and one we've seen done across the country by other companies with other universities. There will be a ground lease put in place between ENSHI on behalf of UNR with an independent third-party nonprofit organization called the National Campus and Community Development, or for short, NCCD. The term of the ground lease will be 35 years. That's 5 years longer than the sublease, and it cannot be terminated for any reason while the bonds are outstanding. Throughout the term of the ground lease, the land and improvements will be owned by the university, and we set that up from a structure perspective to have the property exempt from property and possessory use taxes, which saves the university a significant amount of money over the 30 years. The rent will be a nominal $1 a year, and it's only subject to increase in the chance or the odd chance that there's early termination of the sublease. The sublease leases the facility back to the university for its use, so the parties flip. It is still NCCD and UNR. It is what we call a net lease, meaning the payments are for the principal and interest on the bonds and administrative expenses, but the operations and maintenance will be paid for separately and not part of this transaction, or the financing of this transaction, I should say. The sublease payments will be assigned by the nonprofit directly to the trustee, so the monthly payments will go from the university directly to the trustee. And on a semi-annual basis, principal and interest payments will be made to bondholders. In addition, those payments will include what we call administrative expenses, and those are the operating costs of the trustee and the nonprofit over the life of the project. NCCD is working with a conduit bond issuer to sell the bonds. That is called the National Finance Authority, and those funds that are raised will be used to pay for the development and the construction of the project, and we are working with Wells Fargo as the lead bond underwriter for the transaction. From a financing perspective, I have a high degree of confidence that we can execute this deal. As I've mentioned, it's something we've done before and I've seen other parties do before. With the board's approval of the project, we will issue what is called a preliminary offering statement, or POS, next week and begin to market bonds to institutional investors. Now, I would point out that the approval by the board will then trigger signatures and what we call commercial close, the signing of the development agreement, the ground lease, and the sublease, and the various other agreements, the direct agreements. We are targeting a bond sale for June 22nd and then a financial close at the end of the month by June 30th. The financial close is obviously after the bonds are sold and we have the money for the project. We went out to the rating agencies to have this specific project rated, and we received two very strong ratings. With S&P, we got an A-plus rating. That is one notch below ENCHI's current revenue bonds and what we were hoping for and our expectations. We also had the transaction rated by Fitch, where we got a AA rating, which is consistent with the certificates of participation that ENCHI has issued. In addition, to provide additional support of the transaction, we are planning to get bond insurance with an organization called Build America Mutual, or BAM, and their rating is AA, so it's two notches above the underlying rating that we received from S&P. So we are very confident that this transaction will be well received by investors. A couple of the key terms of the financing include the lease revenue bonds will be secured by the lease payments. It is a 30-year transaction, so maturity of the bonds will be June of 2053. The debt service payments on an annual basis will be level throughout the entirety of the term. And between the principal and interest and those administrative expenses I mentioned, will never exceed $10.25 million a year. I'll talk briefly now about construction. And just to go backwards, as the president mentioned, we were awarded this project on July 6th of 2022. So in 11 months, we've been able to progress design to beyond 50% construction drawings. We've been able to use those drawings to bid to the marketplace, to subcontractors, to get the project price, and pending board approval, we'll begin to lock in those subcontracts. Based on the information received from the subs, I'm very confident that we can deliver the project at or below the price that is in the development agreement. In addition, over this time, we've negotiated all the documents that are before you to vote on, as well as all the bond financing documents. We've applied for and received the initial set of permits and required to start construction, and we will begin work in July of this year, 1 year after award of the project, something we're very proud of. The schedule is at 2 years for construction, so we will be complete in the summer of 2025, and UNR will be able to host classes in the fall of 2025. From an outreach perspective, we have been very proactive trying to reach out to Nevada-based subcontractors to and our process has included starting with UNR's list of firms they've worked with in the past. We scoured the Nevada Business and Contractors License database. We went through Washoe County's database, as well as our own information that we track for the project. Last fall, we held first a virtual outreach meeting where 117 companies were invited to participate. We then held a specific outreach meeting for small business held in Reno, both virtually and in person. 40 companies were invited, held another outreach meeting where 165 companies were invited, and have continued our outreach, and I am confident that we will have great local participation on the project. All construction work on the project will be done under a prevailing wage. Once the building is complete, as I mentioned earlier, we will operate and maintain the facility for the term, the 30 years of the term, under a performance-based contract where we will have what we call key performance indicators that hold our feet to the fire for performance, and if we miss those key performance indicators, we get penalized. And then it also will have what we call a handback provision, meaning dictating what the building will be, the condition it will be upon at the end of the 30-year term. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to present on this exciting project. I hope I've conveyed my enthusiasm as well as what I believe is a certainty of execution on the financing, the transaction, and the construction. And I'm happy to address any questions if the committee has.
Mr. Stricker, thank you so much for that detailed presentation. You anticipated a lot of my questions, so I appreciate that.
Happy to.
I have a question from Regent Perkins.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe President Sandoval knows the question I'm going to ask because I've been bugging him about this ever since he told me about the project. Will there be opportunities for people to buy bricks?
To buy?
Bricks as a fundraising effort through donors.
Well, there certainly has been a lot of conversations about donations for the project and the fundraising goals. Obviously, the president can speak to that, but we can certainly look into providing an area where there are bricks if that's important to the school.
Madam Chair, to you and through you to Regent Perkins, yes, we will have that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Other questions? Vice Chair Escada.
Thank you very much for that presentation. One of the items that you touched upon, just so as Regent Carvalho was just mentioning, you answered a great deal of my questions. But I want to emphasize, you did state the prevailing wages and the, I believe it was Clark Construction that will be participating in this. Is that correct?
Correct on both statements.
Okay. Will you be focusing on Nevada labor? What I'm asking is the carpenters, the unions, the workmanship of the men and women here in the state of Nevada to focus on this project.
Sure, and that was the outreach that I mentioned. The outreach was specifically to make sure that Nevada-based firms were aware of the opportunity, got the opportunity. Clark goes through a process where they pre-qualify subcontractors to get them into the database to make sure that when packages of carpentry, mechanical, plumbing, et cetera, were out for bid, that they were aware of those opportunities. And so, yes, I'm confident that there will be great participation from local Nevada-based firms and laborers.
Wonderful to hear. Couple of questions in regards to, actually, compliments in regards to the architectural amenities that are going to be provided by Edgemoor. I want to personally say thank you for reaching out to the university and the university community, and especially those individuals that have opportunities for education that come into roadblocks. The group in which you all have provided to be the conduit between the Nevada University of Nevada, Reno, the community, and Edgemoor is spectacular. You're focusing on every obstacle to acquire an education. Edgemoor is finding a solution to limit those obstacles and those adversities. And I want to say thank you. Very well done.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. One of the hallmarks of our company is community engagement and making sure that we deliver projects for everybody. And so thank you for that.
Thank you, Vice Chair Escada. Other questions or comments? Thank you so much for that presentation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, with your permission, I'd like to ask Vice President Finance Administration Vic Redding to come forward.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Mr. Redding.
And also Ann Morgan, who's the chair of the UNR Foundation.
Yes, please come forward.
Great. Well, thank you. Good morning. For the record, Vic Redding, Vice President of Administration and Finance for the University of Nevada, Reno, and the university's project manager for this development. I'd like to address the committee on the fiscal impact statement in your reference materials and the financial aspects of this transaction, specifically the source of funds for the university's lease obligation that we've talked about. I'd like to start by making sure the record is... I'd like to start by making sure the record is clear on what are not sources of funds for this project. First, there are no state funds associated with the design or construction of this building. The university will likely use operating budget funds for operating activities like utilities and custodial, similar to any owned or leased building that we have, when we occupy it in the fall of 25, but absolutely nothing for capital. And that's important for utilizing this model. Also, given the past history of this building and a very different financing model that was brought to the board in late 2019 and early 2020, I'd like to assure the board that there are no new student fees or differential fees being proposed to fund the design or construction of this building. The only fee revenue associated with this lease is part of the existing capital improvement fee, which I'll discuss shortly. So with that on the record, I'd like to speak now on how we are going to fund the lease payment, which is budgeted up to a maximum of $10.25 million a year and fixed for the life of the agreement. So in order of smallest to largest, but also in order of how the funds will be applied, that's an important factor. First, the smallest portion of the payment, budgeted conservatively, as it's still under development at slightly under 5%, will be the new revenue associated with the ground lease and revenue generating activities of the hotel conference center. I see the slides have stopped, but I believe many of you are familiar with the next phase of this project, which will be a hotel conference center, which we'll discuss a little more detail at a future board meeting. It will be brought to the board for review and approval this fall. The second source of funding for the lease payment is philanthropy, as is normally the case with any university capital project. Nothing in the project structure that Mr. Stryker explained changes the ability of the university to monetize naming opportunities for the building itself and other public spaces like the auditoriums, classrooms, conference rooms, and the like. I won't steal any of Foundation Chair Morgan's thunder here, and we'll let her speak in a little more detail about the fundraising commitment from the foundation. But the new philanthropy commitment, as well as a historic gift that the university has dedicated to this priority building, will total approximately $100 million and will generate the revenue from that lease payment, from the endowment income that could be used towards this lease payment. Normally, we'd apply gifts directly to construction costs, but with the third-party development agreement, it doesn't work in this way. So instead, we'll use the income to fund that. With much assistance from the foundation's investment committee chair, this is a new model that we developed specifically for this project so that fundraising would work in concert with a third-party development agreement. And as I speak today, we're on the verge of finalizing that endowment structure pending final guidance from tax counsel that I received last night. This source of revenue is also conservatively budgeted with a belt and suspenders approach that we've gotten through a commitment with the foundation to backstop the cash flow that would be generated from these gifts and their income earnings up to $1.9 million a year for 4 years in the event that fundraising should be delayed or investment income otherwise doesn't materialize. And now last on my list, but importantly also last in the order of how funds will be applied to the lease payment, is the existing capital improvement fee. This will make up approximately one half of the lease funding over the 30-year term of the lease, and this is the fee that currently exists in the handbook, Title IV, Chapter 10, Section 12, and is part of the existing board-approved registration fee paid by all students enrolling in the four-credit courses. This would be the traditional source of academic capital project funding, and if we were pursuing a traditional university debt issuance, this would be the source of funding for our bond payments. Instead, we'd ask to dedicate those same dollars to the lease. These amounts are budgeted within the current board-approved fee level and the current board-approved allocation to this category. And that would, I would note also in the interest of conservative budgeting, this is done at both existing enrollments and existing registration fee levels, both of which will increase, but affordability is not contingent on either enrollments or fees increasing. The sources that I'm indicating are the budget over the course of the 30-year obligation and will fluctuate, especially in the early years. And I mention that as the capital improvement fee being the last source applied, intentionally so, so that other sources of the lease payment grow with time, either the revenue associated with the hotel conference center or income from the philanthropy endowments. Those will be spent first, so any savings remain in the capital improvement fee bucket. And one last comment I'd like to make. As I mentioned earlier, and Mr. Stryker mentioned, the operation and maintenance of this building will be outsourced to JCI, Johnson Controls. And I expect that agreement to be circulated through the board notification process later this month. And again, we would expect to use traditional operating funds that would pay for things like custodial and utilities, which is the same for all academic buildings on campus. So with that, I pause for any questions or turn the floor over to Foundation Chair Morgan.
Are there any questions from the committee? Regent Brown, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for that information. I actually want to touch on the $50 million legacy gift. I know President Sandoval and you and I we've all talked about it, but I think it's such a cool Nevada special story. It's something that makes us very unique in the state, and we were kind of joking that we were hoping you guys would come with, like, big bags of gold bricks, but I know that's not how mining works. Just for the record, I do know that's not how mining works. But could you maybe explain a little bit about, you know, why you set it up as an endowment instead of just paying for the construction with this really special gift?
Sure. For the record, again, Vic Redding, and I'd be happy to, because this is part of the special sauce that makes this project successful. And while it's the first time we've done anything like this, I do believe we're creating the roadmap so it can be replicated in the future. This is a pretty neat aspect of how the building will work. But if I may, Chair, just delve into a slightly longer explanation, because this gift is important as a priority for this building. Years ago, the university was the recipient, and more than years, decades ago, early 70s, the university was the recipient of a mining royalty claim as a gift. The mine didn't produce anything for decades, but a few significant events happened in the last couple years. The university had never operated the property. It had always leased the property to a private mining corporation. And the Regents re-upped that lease in, I believe it was the spring of 2018, which gave the mine operator a number of years of certainty going forward to put investments in. The mine operator also acquired the adjoining sections, which allowed them to operate a large-scale mine. And over the past 3 or 4 years, this mining claim has been generating monthly royalty revenues. However, for anybody familiar with Nevada and certainly familiar with mining, there's absolutely no guarantee what comes out of the ground until it comes out of the ground. And it's very hard to treat royalty revenue as an ongoing revenue stream. Fortunes have been made and lost in the state on the variability of what we believe is in the ground. So it presents kind of a unique problem, although certainly a good problem to have, in that you wouldn't want to obligate prospective royalty payments against any sort of long-term obligation, whether it's a lease or salaries or anything, because of the variability as those come in. So working with Mark Densler, the Foundation's Investment Committee Chair, we came up with what I think will be a good model and a good roadmap for future projects. And that was taking the accumulated proceeds of this historic gift, the $50 million, and putting it into an investment in the foundation, into their perpetual endowment. We're working through so this becomes a quasi-endowment. The only difference between a traditional endowment and a quasi-endowment is who establishes the restrictions, and in this case, the university establishes the restrictions. And that's that final detail we're working through with tax counsel now. But the basic model is it will be invested in the foundation's perpetual fund. The unrestricted income from that will go to the university. The university can use that for expenses like this lease payment. I think what makes this model special and why I think it will be replicated in the future, had this just been a traditional university project where we would pay cash for construction, and that does not work with the third-party development agreement. We lose all of the efficiencies that are built in if we start paying for pieces of the construction directly. So instead of doing that, the $50 million resides in the foundation. And in 30 years, when the bonds are fully serviced for this building and the building becomes and there's no lease anymore and the building and the occupancy are fully a university asset, the university and the foundation will still have the corpus of the $50 million historic gift in the foundation, as opposed to if we had just paid cash for a portion of the building. So apologize, that was a very long answer to your direct question, but I hope I covered the pieces of why we couldn't have done this project without that new model, and we certainly couldn't have done it without working hand-in-hand with the foundation to figure this out.
No, I really appreciated that, and I think this is another unique feather for your sesquicentennial celebration. So,
yes, and thank you. I apologize we didn't bring mining samples next time.
Thank you, Mr. Redding.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Vice Chair Boylan.
Thank you, ma'am. Those were five words that I was waiting to hear. It's music to my ears. Is there'll be no new fees on students. Am I correct, sir?
Yes,
I'm sorry. I apologize. I couldn't quite hear. But Regent Boylan, for the record, Vic Redding, you are absolutely correct. There are no new fees. This is a portion of the existing board-approved fee, existing board-approved allocation to capital. Absolutely no new fees.
Music to my ears. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Regent Boylan. Other questions or comments? I will go to Regent Perkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, it's not about bricks, but thank you. I was wondering, is in this building, is there going to be green technology, like solar panels, et cetera, et cetera?
Again, for the record, Vic Redding, we are very confident in our LEED Gold standard for this building.
Chancellor Urquiaga.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Dale Urquiaga. I just wanted to underscore some of what you've been hearing here, and I want to thank Mr. Wixom for his real estate counsel. This, again, is a very clever deal, and I want to recognize Mr. Redding for the financing. He explained it to me, and I understand it, and even I understood that it was clever. And Mr. Redding, I wish to say I was being a grandpa last night, and so I did not attend your reception, but this, I think, is your last quarterly meeting, and after many years of service here, this is, I know you feel like you're giving birth to get this across the finish line today, so I thought I'd talk for about 4 hours to delay this vote for you. But on behalf of the system office where you once worked, and certainly what you have helped me learn over the years, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Chancellor.
Thank you, Chancellor. Vice Chair Arascata.
Our chancellor just somewhat stole my thunder, but it's very well done. You were talking about one of the source of revenues was coming from the hotel. Is there an anchor hotel for the name of that hotel?
Thank you again for that question. For the record, Vic Redding. I'm going to answer your question, I promise, but would like to give a little prelude, and I hope I don't disappoint the Chancellor that I will still be around a little bit longer for this. President Sandoval has graciously agreed to let me stay on and work on the hotel conference center part, just with a limited scope engagement past that, just to make sure all of the pieces continue on. And we do intend to bring that hotel conference center proposal fully vetted to the board this fall. We are currently in discussion with the major franchise companies on this. It is intended to be, and the market analysis supports what I would call a conference level business traveler hotel, which is what you would see at most of our aspirational peer institutions. This type of facility on campus is pretty much table stakes for the peer institutions that we are aspiring to replicate. So while I don't have an exact franchise name with you today that I can share, it will be the business level, conference level hotel conference center.
Non-gaming, non-smoking?
Absolutely non-gaming. I can't answer the question directly on non-smoking. I haven't come across that one yet, but it is now on my list. The parcel will support, and the market analysis validates somewhere between 150 and 175 hotel rooms.
Excellent. The longer we can keep you on campus, the better. Thank you, Rick.
Well, I couldn't leave halfway through.
Thank you, Mr. Redding. Are there any other questions or comments for Mr. Redding? No? Okay. President Sandoval?
And Madam Chair, with your permission, may I ask Ann Morgan, the chair of our UNR Foundation, to come forward, please?
Yes, please. Welcome, Chair Morgan. Your microphone.
Thank you very much. For the record, my name is Ann Morgan. I'm the chair of the University of Nevada, Reno Foundation, and it is my honor today to tell you that we are all in on this particular project. We are all in. At a recent executive committee meeting, our executive committee unanimously voted to support this project and committed to the goal of raising $100 million solely to support this initiative. And you've already heard that we're halfway there because of UNR's gift of the quasi-endowment of $50 million. So we're halfway there. The other $50 to $60 million, we're going to raise in new philanthropy. We are 20% there of that. We've identified naming opportunities in the building itself. Today, I heard about bricks. And so we're going to add bricks, maybe not gold bricks, but bricks that we're going to sell as well. Finally, I want you to know that we also affirmatively voted to backstop the lease payments that will be due on the sublease for up to $1.9 million a year over the next 4 years, just in case the philanthropy doesn't come in as soon as we hope it will come in. So that's how important we think this building is. We believe that this is going to be a cornerstone to the university and for our students, and we thank you and hope that you agree with us on that.
Thank you, Chair Morgan. Any other questions or comments for the chair of the foundation? Thank you so much for your commitment to this university and your partnership. We really do appreciate it. President Sandoval?
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. That completes our presentation, and we respectfully request your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So there are many aspects to this agenda item that we need to approve. So I would entertain a motion to approve a resolution approving and authorizing the chancellor to execute the following documents related to this transaction. One, the development agreement. Two, the ground lease. Three, the sublease. Four, the direct agreements. Five, the letter of representations for bond purchase and agreement. And six, authorizing the chancellor or their designees to execute such certificates of incumbency, factual statements and affirmations, and other ancillary documents required from ENCHI in connection with the underlying bond financing.
Move to approve.
I have a motion from Regent Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
A second from Regent Tarkanian. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? One last comment that I have related to this transaction. It is a very complex and unique transaction, and I think it's suitable that it's for the business building. And I would think that maybe Dean Mosier in the future could think about a case study involved in this for your students. I think that it would be a very interesting case study indeed. With that, I will call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee.
Before I move on to the next item, I just want to say personally, thank you so much, Vic. Don't go anywhere yet. I see you moving. Your involvement, participation, expertise in this transaction has been phenomenal. And what better gift than to start your retirement with the approval of this. So I thank you so much for working on this so diligently and continuing to do so. We joked yesterday that maybe you should have an office in the parking building so you can watch this happen. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for what you do. Echo what Chancellor Urquiaga has said, that you have been such an integral part of ENCHI for these two plus decades. And I thank you so much for your service and your time at UNR. Thank you. Now we'll move on to item number 8, request to submit vacation application for land and improvements owned by Clark County, vacate East Harmon Avenue and public and traffic facility easements for UNLV. President Whitfield.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho, and to you, Vice Chair Boylan, to Chancellor Urquiaga, and the rest of the board. UNLV is requesting your approval today to submit an application of vacation to Clark County, requesting that they vacate the existing roadway and improvements from East Harmon Avenue from University Center Drive eastward to the cul-de-sac at Tartanian Way, otherwise known as the vacation area. Currently, UNLV owns the roadway and existing improvements beginning at Tartanian Way, running eastward to Lead Library. But UNLV's lack of ownership of the vacation area makes it difficult to modify the existing roadway and make improvements to support the master plan. If the vacation is granted, UNLV will assume ownership of the vacation area and become responsible for the operations and maintenance. At its expense, the county recently rehabilitated the vacation area, making it very beneficial for UNLV to receive the vacation area in its as-new condition. I offer this for your consideration.
Thank you, President Whitfield. Questions, comments regarding this agenda item? I'll call for a motion to approve the request. Let me think about this. Request approval to submit a request to Clark County to vacate ownership of the vacation area with various parcel numbers. And also a request to the Chancellor to be authorized to finance, approve, and execute a vacation application and any other ancillary agreements required to implement the vacation, including but not limited to conveyances, easements, and rights of way.
So moved.
Move to support.
I have a motion from Regent Downs and a second from Regent Brown. All those in favor, please
Madam
say
Chair.
Aye. Oh, please. Regent Boylan, did you have a comment or question?
Yes, ma'am. A comment. I was going to say it would be most appropriate that Regent Tarkanian make that motion, because that has been named after husband, our coach, Mr. Tarkanian, Coach Tarkanian. But it's already been marked by, I think, Regent Downs or someone, just a request that they can take back their motions and let Regent Arcanian make that motion, just a sign of respect. That's my personal opinion. Thank you, ma'am.
You want it?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Regent Tarkanian.
I think that's very nice of you, Regent Boylan, but I don't think I can vote on this issue, because it relates to something personal with us, and I don't think I can do that even legally. So I don't think, what I'm saying is I cannot vote. I'll have to recuse myself from this vote.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
But thank you very much.
Okay. I've been told by counsel that it would be best to keep the motion and the second as is. I do appreciate your sentiment, Regent Boylan, but Regent Tarkanian, according to counsel, is correct. With that said, I have a motion from Regent Downs, a second by Regent Brown, and one moment. I'm going to have Council Wixom explain something for just a moment.
Thank you. Michael Wixom for the record, Special Anchi Real Estate Council. Regent Tarkanian, if I may, with all due respect, it's my understanding then that you'll be recusing yourself from this vote. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Then for your protection and for the protection of the system, I would just acknowledge for the record that Regent Tarkanian will be recusing herself from this vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wixom. So I will call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. No in opposition, and we have one abstention. Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 9, communications license agreement with Nexstar Media Incorporated for use of a telecommunications facility by KUNV from UNLV. President Whitfield.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Vice Chair Boylan, Regent Arascata, and to the board. UNLV is formally requesting to enter into a 10-year communications license agreement with Nexstar Media Incorporated. It's a radio station affiliated with the UNLV Greenspun College of Urban Affairs. This licensing agreement allows UNLV to offer diverse musical, entertainment, and public affairs programming to the Las Vegas Valley through UNLV's radio station, KUNV, and has a total cost over a 10-year period of time of $602,873. KUNV has operated broadcast services at UNLV for 30 years and is a national public service affiliate that provides programming to the greater Las Vegas community and worldwide via the web stream. Additionally, the radio station also offers students paid internships and the opportunity to study the telecommunications courses in journalism, broadcasting, video production, digital media, and marketing. The license will grant KUNV permission to use floor space in an equipment shelter along with tower space in order to operate and maintain equipment and needed broadcasting infrastructure located at Black Mountain Arden in Henderson, Nevada. The previous communications license agreement was approved by the Board of Regents at the November 29, 2012 meeting. With all this in mind, I respectfully offer this for your consideration.
Thank you, President Whitfield. I see Mr. David Frommer. Please come forward. Did you have additional information to add, please?
Yes, thank you, Chair Carvalho. And for the record, David Frommer, UNLV Associate Vice President, Planning, Construction, and Real Estate. First, I wanted to thank Regent Carvalho for the indulgence. We had had an attachment to this agreement that was not quite the correct attachment, and working with Council Wixom and Kerry were able to change that out and keep this item on the board agenda. So my thanks to you for your indulgence and all the efforts in pulling that together for system staff. As President Whitfield noted, this is a agreement, really a continuation, a new agreement, but the service is a continuation for our KUNV radio station. The terms are very similar. In fact, the rent has gone down $15 a month, so $180 a year of savings. Utilities are an at-cost item, so that will continue solely as a payment that is reconciled yearly, but that typically is coming under budget. So this is very much a continuation of an agreement we've had with a new agreement to provide these services. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frommer. Are there any questions or comments from committee members or those in attendance? Okay.
Make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Vice Chair Boylan. So your motion is to approve the communication license agreement before us today, the one that is in the supplemental materials, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Second.
A second from Regent Tarkanian. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? I will call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 There is none opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item number 10, request for authorization to sell real property located at Silver Springs, Lyon County, Nevada, UNLV. President Whitfield.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho, and to you, Vice Chair Boylan, Chancellor Urquiaga, and to the board. UNLV is requesting today to sell its one-third interest in a 15-acre vacant parcel, let's call it Parcel 1, as well as another 10-acre vacant parcel, let's call that Parcel 2, which is solely owned by UNLV. Both parcels were donated to UNLV by Norman and Cheryl Jean Kay in 1978, and the additional owners of Parcel 1 are the Lapome Family Trust and the Judith Dawson Trust. Since acquisition, there have been no developments to either property, and UNLV is selling the parcel now because the additional owners approached UNLV to sell. Both parcels are currently under appraisal, and the sales prices will be no less than their appraised values. The value of the parcels is estimated to be between $20,000 and $35,000 per acre, and estimated sales proceeds for the parcels, less expenses, could be in the range of $400,000 to $500,000. The proceeds of the sale will be invested into the campus master plan. With this information in mind, I offer this for your consideration.
Thank you, President Whitfield. Any questions or comments from the committee members or those in attendance? I will entertain a motion to approve the sale of Parcel 1 and Parcel 2 bearing Lyon County Assessor Parcel Numbers 0151105 and 0151106, and also authorize the request of the Chancellor to finalize, approve, and execute a purchase and sale agreement of any ancillary agreements required to implement the sale of the property, including but not limited to conveyances, easements, and rights of way. And all the aforementioned agreements shall be reviewed and approved by NC Chief General Counsel or at the Chief General Counsel's request, NC Special Real Property Counsel, in order to implement the terms and conditions required to finalize the sale of the property.
Motion to approve.
Thank you. I have a motion from Regent Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Regent Downs. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Before we move on to item number 11, I'm going to move back to item number 9 and cede the floor to Mr. Mike Wixon.
Thank you, Michael Wixon, for the record. I think we just need to clarify one point on agenda item 9. That would be the Nexus license agreement. The way the item was presented, I believe this point is covered, but I think it's important that we clarify this for the record. There's language in the requested action item that UNLV President Whitfield further requests that the Chancellor be granted authority to execute the license and any ancillary documents needed to implement the terms of the license. I just wanted to clarify for the record that that was part of the motion. And I think, Regent Boylan, that was your motion, was it not, to approve this license agreement?
Yes, sir, it was.
And thank you. And is it your understanding then that particular statement, the authority to approve the ancillary documents, was included in your motion? Is that correct?
That's what I gathered, yes.
Thank you. Who offered the second for that? Regent Tarkanian, was that your understanding as well?
Yes, it was.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify for the record that was included within the authorization as we go forward, so there wasn't any misunderstanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wixon.
Thank you, sir, for making it. Sorry, ma'am.
No, you're quite all right. Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Wixon. I appreciate it. Okay, item number 11, long-term lease agreement with Liumi B, LLC, on behalf of the Kirkorian School of Medicine at UNLV for the use of space at 2724th North Tanea Way, UNLV. President Whitfield.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho, and to you, Vice Chair Boylan, Chancellor Urquiaga, and to the rest of the board. UNLV, on behalf of the Kirkorian School of Medicine, is requesting a new lease at 2724 North Tanea Way to replace the existing lease at 1524 Pinto Lane. The current lease will expire on October 31st, 2024, and currently, pediatrics and family medicine occupy the Pinto property. The Kirkorian School of Medicine will consolidate several existing clinics that will be relocated to the Tanea property, as consolidation of the clinics offers the medical school the opportunity to manage staff and facilities in a more effective and efficient manner. The Kirkorian School of Medicine will fund all lease costs that consist of base rent and common area maintenance expenses, and the landlord will provide tenant improvements at no cost to the School of Medicine. Since the original submission of this agenda item, there have been an update to the contract, as the base rent has been raised by 18% to now be $8,689,099.78. I respectfully offer this for your consideration.
Thank you, President Whitfield. Mr. Frommer.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, David Frommer, UNLV Associate Vice President, Planning, Construction, and Real Estate. I also wanted to thank the Chair's indulgence on this item. We had some late-breaking developments in terms of finalizing the tenant improvements for this item that required supplemental materials for the lease. To provide some context to that, we had been working through the practice plan approach of UNLV Health and the Kirk Kerkorian School of Medicine as to the tenants and their needs in the Tenea facility. What is happening is this is a bit of a optimization of their clinical practice and their clinical interactions between different specialties. So kind of the basis of this is we are going to be ultimately vacating the Pinto Lane Clinic, 1524 Pinto Lane. Some components of that will be moving, most notably family medicine, into the Tenea site. Pediatrics is going to remain for the remainder of the year over in the Pinto Clinic, and then we will be relocating them ultimately is the plan. The other clinics that are joining family medicine at the Tenea site, general surgery, plastic surgery, sports medicine, and adolescent psychology, particularly the surgical specialties require additional procedure rooms that the School of Medicine has not had before that allows them to undertake some procedures but not full OR procedures on site. Those have certain requirements like negative pressure rooms for air control, for disease and infection control. That added some cost to the tenant improvements. That's what's been incorporated into the updated lease agreement. I will note that at the Pinto Clinic, which we've had a very good experience there, so it has been a good facility for our use to date, the new Tenea Clinic with those more sophisticated facilities and the ability to retain some of those procedures in-house is essentially about a 4% increase in annual lease rate from the Pinto Clinic, which was a more simple exam room type clinic. So from that perspective, I think there is some good value there in terms of paying a little bit more for the ability to have more sophisticated procedures and activities in the new Tenea building. So again, my thanks to the chair for your indulgence. My thanks to Michael Wixom and Kerry for their efforts and NC staff in the supplemental materials. We really appreciate that collaboration.
Thank you, Mr. Frommer. Are there any questions or comments from committee members or others in attendance? Yes, Regent Brown.
Regent Brown, for the record, I'll just go ahead and echo what I said earlier. I think anything that improves healthcare in the state of Nevada, especially with our two medical schools, is worth supporting. So thank you.
Thank you, Regent Brown. I would wholeheartedly echo that sentiment. Thank you. So are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to approve a long-term lease agreement with Liumi B, LLC on behalf of the Kirk Kerkorian School of Medicine at UNLV at 2724 North Tenea Way, Las Vegas, Nevada, bearing Clark County Assessor Parcel Number 138-15710011. Also request authorization of the Chancellor to be granted authority to execute the lease agreement, any amendments, and any other ancillary agreements required to implement the lease agreement. And all of aforementioned agreements shall be reviewed and approved by NCHI Chief General Counsel or at the Chief General Counsel's request, NCHI Special Real Estate Counsel, in order to implement the terms and conditions required to finalize the lease. In addition, I want to make it clear on the record that we are approving the lease that totals $8,689,099.78. This is the amount of the lease that was included in the supplemental materials that includes the additional tenant improvements that were relayed earlier by Mr. Frommer. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
I have a motion from Regent Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Regent Downs. Are there any other questions or comments? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any in opposition? Motion carries.
Nay.
Unanimous. Oh, I'm sorry. Regent Boylan, are you, your vote is a nay? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. So we have four yes and one no. And with that, the motion carries. Thank you. I will move on to item number 12. Is there any new business? Seeing none, I will move into public comment. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas?
There is no public comment in Las Vegas.
Thank you. Public comment in Elko?
There is no public comment in Elko.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here in Reno? Seeing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 12:26 p.m. Thank you.